Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 93 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Folks in Moorhead should probably be thinking about this full time, and we just consider that being bear wise.
State Fish and Wildlife officials are warning Rowan Countyans to be on the lookout for bears.
Interstate 64 was closed this afternoon in Carter County after a car and motorcycle collided.
A man with dementia is still missing near Grayson Lake.
Rowan County's clerk is in the news again.
Moorhead State University students have a new research opportunity.
In sports, the Reds head to Pittsburgh for Game 2 with the Pirates.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 71 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Officials with the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife are reminding Moorhead residents to be bear-wise following a bear sighting over the weekend. Moorhead City Police received reports of a bear crossing U.S. 60 near Hot Rod's Guitar Shop on Sunday, heading towards Tolliver Road. John Hast is the Bear Program Coordinator for the KDFW. He says when someone sees a bear in town, they need to keep their distance, but there probably isn't a need to panic.
As long as the bear is not being aggressive in any manner, we're basically going to let it play out and let that bear wander out of town. You know, we don't make efforts to catch them. That tends to do more harm than good. A place like Moorhead with great habitat just on the fringes of town, we more or less just hope that it finds a clear path and we might direct it a little bit just to get it out of town.
Hass says it's good to notify police or the Department of Fish and Wildlife when a bear has been sighted, but it's most important to inform your neighbors. He also reminds individuals to make sure things like garbage, recyclables, and pet food are secure at the home.
The eastbound lanes of Interstate 64 near Grayson have been closed this afternoon after a collision between a Jeep and a motorcycle. Kentucky State Police, Carter County EMS, and the Grayson Fire Department responded to the scene around 1:45 this afternoon. Troopers say the Jeep was in the fast lane and crossing back to the slow lane. Its driver didn't see the motorcyclist and rear-ended the bike. The motorcyclist was flown to Cable Huntington Hospital. The name of those involved in the accident have not been released. KSP expect to have the lanes closed for some time while the accident reconstruction team does an investigation.
Kentucky State Police and rescue crews are searching for a missing Carter County man near Grayson Lake. Authorities say 62-year-old Richard Lee was reported missing by his family on Monday evening. Lee reportedly has dementia and cannot communicate. Joanne Dunphy is with Grayson Emergency Management. She says officials are waiting to organize volunteers to assist with the search.
They're bringing more dog teams in, and there's that thing about the scent and the smell. And if too many people are in the woods, the dogs don't pick up on it.
Lee is around 5'6" and was last seen wearing a blue cotton shirt and a tan t-shirt. If you see Lee, you're asked to call 911.
A woman has been sentenced to prison regarding the death of a Greenup County teenager. Kelly Dummett was in a diversion program that would have kept her out of jail regarding the 2015 death of Maddie Conley. She'll now serve 7 years in prison for reckless homicide after violating the program's requirements. Dumman entered a guilty plea to violating the terms in Greenup Circuit Court Friday. WSAZ was there when Dumman offered an apology to Conley's family.
I'm thinking about it every day, no matter what my actions may seem. I'm drunk because I have a hard time dealing with things. And I know this apology probably means nothing to you guys, but I truly am sorry.
Dumman had violated the terms of her diversion twice now, the first just a day after receiving the terms in January, then again in July when she left the state of Kentucky without permission, drank alcohol, violated curfew, and gave false information to her probation officer.
A man was arrested in Winchester yesterday morning after allegedly breaking into the back seat of a woman's car and taking a nap. Allison Rose tells WKYT that she found 29-year-old Brandon Adams asleep in her back seat during her morning commute.
I noticed right before I got on the interstate to head towards Lexington that my door ajar light was on. And I was like, okay, well, I was stopped. So I checked my door. It wasn't my door. So then I pulled off on the interstate and I opened my back driver door. The guy's head like just plopped off like it was, you know, resting, and it just plopped out. And to be honest, I didn't think he was alive.
Sheriff deputies arrested Adams and charged him with public intoxication. According to his arrest citation, he was manifestly under the influence. Adams is lodged in the Clark County Detention Center.
A 3-year-old child from Harlan County is dead after being shot in the head. According to police, the toddler allegedly got a hold of a small handgun when he was on the front porch around 11 a.m. Friday. Kentucky State Police Trooper Shane Jacobs tells WYMT the investigation is bringing new information.
Through the investigation, we know that the mother was home along with several other adults when this occurred. It appears that this occurred on the front porch of the residence where they live.
Police are investigating how the child got a hold of the gun. Authorities have not released the child's name.
We'll have more of your regional headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the city park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis may be connected to an ongoing issue between Pope Francis and a former Vatican ambassador to the U.S. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has more.
Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano recently wrote a letter saying Francis helped cover up sex abuse by members of the clergy. Davis gained national attention in 2015 for spending time in jail for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The New York Times suggests issues between Vigano and the Pope, who promotes inclusion, may have been pushed to the breaking point when Vigano arranged a meeting between Francis and Davis during his trip to the U.S. back in 2015. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
U.S. Representative Hal Rogers announced two grants worth $10.5 million to spur economic development and job creation in eastern Kentucky last week. Letcher County will receive $4.5 million for a water expansion project that will serve 100 additional households and the future federal correctional facility in Roxana. The prison facility at Roxana is expected to provide an indirect revenue stream of approximately $3 to $4 million to Letcher County and surrounding Appalachian communities. Both grants were announced at the 2018 Shaping Our Appalachian Region Summit in Pikeville.
And also announced at that summit, a manufacturing company that makes high-power batteries will open a facility in Pikeville. WSAZ reports the $6 million InnerBlue facility is expected to create more than 900 jobs over 3 years. The facility will be located at the Kentucky Enterprise Industrial Park in Pike County.
The Kentucky Student Environmental Coalition is working to raise awareness about one company's efforts to repurpose a 75-year-old pipeline for natural gas transport, something the organization says could be dangerous. Kasich held a mock birthday party for the Kinder Morgan, Tennessee pipeline this weekend in Madison County. Spokesperson Kara Cooper says she hopes the event brings light to the potential issues that could arise from using such an old pipeline to transport highly pressurized natural gas.
Besides the fact that a 75-year-old pipeline is a really old pipe already, there have been over 100 significant failures since the beginning of the 2000s on this particular pipeline already. And natural gas liquids is what they want to repurpose it for. So it was before running methane. Natural gas liquids are things like butane, ethane, and propane. They require more pressure in order to travel through the pipe.
The pipeline runs through several counties throughout the Commonwealth: Montgomery, Bath, Rowan, Lewis, Carter, and Greenup counties in northeastern Kentucky alone.
Kentucky public health officials continue their campaign to help people give up tobacco. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
The Department for Public Health announced a new public information campaign, which includes broadcast, print, and digital ads. The anti-smoking campaign also includes outreach to medical providers and community engagement initiatives aimed at boosting the awareness. According to the Commonwealth's Public Health Department, more than 8,000 Kentuckians die each year due to tobacco-related diseases. The program currently hosts a statewide telephone service for people who are wanting to stop smoking or using other tobacco products, which can be reached at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Kentucky Secretary of State says allegations of misconduct levied against her by Kentucky State Board of Elections Executive Director are unfounded. Allison Lundergan Grimes tells the Herald Leader that Jared Deering, who wrote a 9-page letter detailing what he says are abuses of power, has a fundamental misunderstanding of her role as the Commonwealth's chief elections officer. She responded to the allegations in comments to the media on Tuesday.
I vigorously dispute the contents, very bizarre contents, baseless allegations of the staff member, anyone who has attended the State Board of Elections meeting, especially most recently today or last week. You know the allegations contained there within have no merit.
Kentucky GOP Chairman Mack Brown says he will push for a federal investigation into the matter. Conversely, the State Board of Elections unanimously threw its support behind Grimes on Tuesday, voting 4-0 in favor of a resolution to reaffirm her role as board chair and chief elections officer.
Morehead State University is offering a program to undergraduate students to advance their education. The Undergraduate Research Fellowship Program at MSU is designed for students who want to learn more about their field while also making some money. Undergrads will get the chance to research with faculty members and participate in projects. Students may work up to 15 hours per week, starting rate of $7.50 an hour. Dr. Michael Henson is dean of the graduate school. He says being part of this program opens doors to jobs and experience that someone couldn't achieve outside of the fellowship.
We've had a lot of great reports for them, and we've had great reports from their faculty mentors who like to be able to talk about the fact that, you know, students who worked with them had opportunities following graduation that set them above other graduates. So it's a great opportunity for them not only to learn, but for also for them to get a leg up on the competition, as I said, with respect to employment opportunities.
To participate, students must initiate contact with a faculty member they want to research with, and they must adhere to certain requirements.
The Internal Revenue Service says it will audit the University of Louisville Foundation. The Courier-Journal reports the IRS notified the foundation on August 24th it had been selected for an audit. Agents plan to visit the foundation September 11th through the 13th and have asked for documents related to mismanagement and employee pay. The foundation oversees the university's $721 million endowment. It is a nonprofit organization and exempt from taxes. In August 2017, the foundation notified the IRS of some non-compliant activities. These included investing endowment money in high-risk startup companies and spending $3.9 million on excessive compensation to a trio of former university officials. Interim Foundation Executive Director Keith Sherman said the foundation is cooperating with the government and plans to show them how we have reformed this institution.
The Kentucky Board of Education and the state's largest school district have agreed to a settlement, heading off a state takeover of that system. WUKY's Josh James has the details.
The deal sets a timetable of about 2 weeks for the state and Jefferson County Public Schools to negotiate a corrective action plan. Under the agreement, the Department of Education will have final say over policies surrounding restraint and seclusion, early childhood and special education, and career and technical facilities. WDRB-TV reports the local board will remain in control of district operations. Interim Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis.
What this does is allows us to put this action behind us, and with an agreement, something we've come to terms on, gives us a roadmap, gives us a framework to be able to collaborate.
But not everyone is sounding quite so confident. Some local board members worry Lewis could exercise too much authority over the final corrective action plan. A 14-month audit of JCPS found large achievement gaps and claims of student abuse. KDE will conduct a follow-up audit in 2020. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Looking at the weather tonight, some clouds, lows around 71 degrees. On Wednesday, partial cloudiness early with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs around 89 degrees, chance of rain at 40%. Wednesday night, a few clouds from time to time, lows around 70 degrees. Thursday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs near 85, chance of rain at 60%. Thursday night, scattered thunderstorms during the evening, then partly cloudy overnight, lows around 69, chance of rain at 60%. And on Friday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, becoming more widespread in the afternoon, highs around 82, chance of rain at 90%. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Ashland, 95 degrees, Inez, 93 degrees, Winchester and Flemingsburg, 92 degrees, in Lexington, 93 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's currently 93 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a long-running music festival is set to make its return to Carter County tomorrow. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
Coming up here in the first weekend after Labor Day here at Carter Cave State Resort Park is a weekend of traditional music from the hills here in eastern Kentucky.
That's Coy Ainsley, park naturalist at Carter Cave State Resort Park, where they've been preparing for the return of the Fraley Festival of Traditional Music.
It is our longest running event here at the park. It's been going on for over 50 years, and it's all about traditional music.
And that's something Ainsley says needs emphasis. The Fraley Festival is not a bluegrass festival.
So you're going to see a lot of different stringed instruments being played here, playing a lot of old mountain music. It's kind of the music that preceded the popular bluegrass music that you see a lot of festivals and stuff happening around the area.
And the festival differs in more ways than one. Many festivals tend to have a headliner, but Ainsley says that isn't the case here.
So what happens throughout the night, they're scheduled, usually starts at 7, and every 10 to 15 minutes, you're going to see somebody new on stage. Sometimes these concerts can last, especially Saturday night, up into, say, midnight. It's gone on till 1 a.m., so you're talking 5 hours with lots of different bands playing.
And while the festival center may lie at the park's amphitheater, Ainsley says everything around the park becomes an attraction.
It's kind of a laid-back festival, too. It's not just about what's happening on the stage, but in the parking lots, in the campground, at the lodge, inside the lodge, just throughout the park, you're going to see gatherings of musicians hanging around, just jamming, enjoying themselves and enjoying their time here at the park.
For all those reasons, Ainsley says it's not hard to get your money's worth.
The price tag on it is really good. People have the opportunity to come out just for, say, one evening or one afternoon or an evening, or they can come out for the whole event.
The festival runs from the 5th through the 8th. For information on acts and tickets, visit the festival's website at fraleyfestival.com. For WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
It's 448 and 93 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
It's game two for the Reds. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Reds are back for game two in their series against the Pirates this evening. The Reds dropped yesterday's contest 5-1. Reds manager Jim Riggleman tells Reds.com that while he saw a pretty good performance from right-hander Matt Harvey, he hopes his team does a little better against the Pittsburgh pitching staff this evening.
Yeah, you know, Matt was okay. You know, I don't think he'll say it was one of my best games, but it was certainly a good enough, well enough pitch to win a ball game. And, you know, just we just didn't hit their guy.
Game time is scheduled for 7:05. In other news from the majors, the Arizona Cardinals' home field is changing its name to State Farm Stadium. The team announced today that it has reached an 18-year naming rights deal with the insurance giant. Alex Bregman has homered in three straight games for Houston, part of his surge since making the All-Star team. The third baseman has reached base safely in 31 consecutive games, which is the longest active streak in the majors, and looks to extend his string at home versus Minnesota. Bregman tops the AL West leaders with his career-high 28 home runs and has 72 extra base hits, the most by an Astros player since Lance Berkman's 79 in 2008. Rowan County Senior High School football coach Kelly Ford continues to be impressed by his squad this season. The Vikings won their first road game of the season Friday in Mason County 47-13. Ford says one thing that really sticks out is the performance from the team's quarterbacks.
Throwing the football, I mean, we went to a two-minute offense right before halftime, and throwing the football up and down the field, I mean, it was like clockwork. I mean, it's something that we don't practice a lot. We do very well in the game, so but we got to continue to build off of it and continue to get better.
The Vikings play again this Friday when they host Fleming County at home. Game time is scheduled for 7:30. The Cincinnati Bengals are ready to start regular season play on Sunday when they take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Bengals fell to the Colts last Thursday in their last preseason matchup of the year, losing 27-26. Kickoff is slated for 1 p.m. An endorsement deal between Nike and Colin Kaepernick is prompting a flood of debate online as sports fans react to the apparel giant backing an athlete known for starting a wave of protests among NFL players of police brutality, racial inequality, and other social issues. The NFL and Nike extended their partnership in March to run through 2028. Nike provides all NFL teams with game day uniforms and sideline apparel that bears the swoosh logo. The New York Jets have signed former Giants quarterback Davis Webb to their practice squad. Webb was the Giants' third-round pick last year's draft, but was surprisingly waived Sunday during final roster cuts. The Giants initially kept four quarterbacks before cutting Webb and keeping rookie Kyle Walletta and veteran Alex Taney as backups to Eli Manning. Webb did not play in a regular season game last season and was inconsistent this summer in three preseason games. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin doesn't know when Le'Veon Bell is going to show up for work. Maybe it'll be in time for the Steelers' all-pro running back to be ready for Sunday's season opener at Cleveland, or maybe Bell will skip a week to send one last message about his frustration over not being able to be signed to a long-term deal during the offseason. Tomlin insists he has too much going on getting ready to chase a third straight AFC North title to keep checking Bell's locker for evidence of his arrival. A Morehead State volleyball player has been named the Ohio Valley Conference's Offensive Player of the Week. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
Following a week that saw her hit 316 from the outside, sophomore outside hitter Olivia Lohmeyer has been named the OVC Offensive Player of the Week. The honor marks the third OVC award she's earned in her career, having previously been named OVC Newcomer of the Week on two occasions during the 2017 season. On the week, Lohmeyer recorded 43 kills, making just 13 errors in 95 attacks. She'd also add 9 total blocks, all assists, to a total team-high 47.5 points during Morehead State's four matches. Lohmeyer played in all but one set last week for the Eagles, helping her team to a 2-2 record. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
The Morehead State soccer team fell to Kennesaw State 2-0 on the road Sunday afternoon. The Eagles fired a season-high 17 shots while also having a season-best 9 shots on goal. Coach Warren Lipka says those numbers made the loss more frustrating.
First time, I think, on our season that we outshot our opponent. You know, have clear chances, hit a crossbar in the first half, hit a crossbar in the second half. I think we gave up two, taking nothing away from Kennesaw State. They fought through it. They got their win. But we gave up some soft goals today.
Morehead State now embarks on a 2-game road trip traveling to Kent State on Friday before heading to Philadelphia for a date with Duquesne on Sunday, September 9th. And lastly in sports, Rowan County Soccer Clubs host a doubleheader tonight at the Marvin Moore Athletic Complex. The Lady Vikings will play host to West Carter at 5:30. The Rowan Gals are 4-2 on the season, coming off a home win over Montgomery County on Thursday. In other girls' regional action tonight, Topsy Bath County heads to Menifee tonight. East Carter hosts Spring Valley out of Huntington. Fleming plays host to St. Patrick. The Rowan County boys team plays host to St. Patrick at 7 p.m. Rowan's guys are 7-1 on the season and holding the top spot in the region. Coach Max Hammond says tonight's matchup will be a tough one.
Well, they're undefeated on the year and just came off a big win in the All-A against Bishop Rossert, who's a really really good quality team. So we've got to be ready to play. Before it's kind of been a one-sided game, but I think this year it'll be close and it'll be a really competitive game.
The Vikes travel to Mason County tomorrow and will host the Kings of the Mountains tournament this weekend. Another area soccer action tonight, Boyd County hosts East Carter, Menifee hosts Bath, and Russell hosts Greenup. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Mount St. Joseph on Saturday, kickoff is 6 p.m., Soccer's next home match is on Friday, September 14th, against Eastern Illinois, and volleyball host Jacksonville State on Friday, September 21st. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as trade tensions between the U.S. and key partners increased to start off one of the toughest parts of the year historically for equity investors. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 12.34 at 25,952.48. Earlier, the blue chip average was down over 100 points. The S&P 500 was down 4.8 at 2896.72, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 18.29 at 8,091.25. Telecom and real estate sectors were particularly weak today. As mentioned, trade very much in focus, as not only with Canada but also China. There was word that a tremendous amount of tariffs are kicking in against China, totaling $200 billion. And, of course, this comes after last week when talks with Canada that were at first deemed to be progressing broke down, with a resumption of talks scheduled for tomorrow. And shares of trade-sensitive stocks felt the brunt of this today. Caterpillar was down nearly 0.7%, while Deere was down 1.5%. Investors also kept an eye on emerging markets as they get pressured by rising trade fears and a strong dollar. In Turkey, the lira has lost at least 40% of its value in 2018 over concerns surrounding the President Erdogan's policies and the economy. Meanwhile, the Argentinian government asked the IMF for an early release of funds from the nation's $50 billion standby financing deal that was announced last week. Facebook shares dropped 2.6% after analysts at MoffittNathanson downgraded them to neutral from buy, the analysts citing a toxic brew of slowing sales growth and regulation risk. Nike's shares fell 3.2% amid backlash over a campaign featuring Colin Kaepernick, a former San Francisco 49ers quarterback. And Amazon shares rose at their high today almost as much as 2%, briefly pushing the company's market cap to $1 trillion. The milestone comes about a month after Apple, another tech giant, became the very first U.S. publicly traded company to reach the $1 trillion level. Amazon was strong toward the end of the day as well, finishing with a gain of almost $27 at $2,039.51 a share. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.6% at $69.40 a barrel. Gold was down 0.75% at $1,197.40 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.7%. In Asia, stocks did well, with the Shanghai Composite up 1.1% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.9%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Home Depot and Boeing, while the worst performers were Nike and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Ulta Beauty, while the worst performers were Seagate Technology and Western Digital. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 33 cents at 83.87, CSX up 68 cents at 74.84, AEP up 50 cents at 72.23, AK Steel down 7 cents at 4.37, Marathon Petroleum up $1.99 at 84.28, and Community Trust Bank was down 5 cents to finish at 49.35. Reporting for WMKY Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Cody Robinson, Logan Pemberton, Peyton Stewart, Jacob Lindberg, Brian Courtney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Suzanne Duvall, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.